السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, first of all I apologize for the announcement on Thursday that we will not be having a majlis tonight. It was due to a bit of a mix-up with regards to the date of a meeting that's coming up next week. Nevertheless, at the short notice you have gathered here, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your coming and make this majlis a means of hidayat for myself and for all of you. Ameen. On Thursday night we had before the zikr a poetry of Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. I mentioned some time ago that the poetry of the Ahlullah, the poetry of those who are the friends of Allah Ta'ala, it is not a product of their imagination. Their poetry is not in the praise of wine and women and evil pleasures. Their poetry does not take you on the road that leads to restlessness and hellfire. The poetry of the Ahlullah, the poetry of the Walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, is in actual fact, in reality, a waaz. It is a nasihat. It's a speech. Whatever is in the Quran Sharif and whatever is in the Sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when they are in a certain kayfiyat and certain hal, a certain condition of their heart, then they start saying this poetry, which if a person listens to or reads with that kind of background in his mind, that this is a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is saying this poetry and it is nothing but nasihat and waaz, then it has a great impact on the heart of the person. In their little couplets and little poetry, they give us such nasihats for which we require hours and hours of speech. So therefore it has been always the practice of our mashayikh that every now and again, together with the Quran Sharif tafsir, together with the Hadith Sharif explanations, and together with the commentary of certain ayats of the Quran Sharif, they also recited certain poetry. This poetry is, as I said, by Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, regarding whom it was said that his noor, if a person had basirat, if he had inner sight, then he could see the noor from his house up to the skies. So much of zikr he made there, and so much of ibadat, and so much of tilawat, and so much of ta'alluq ma'allah he had, that this was the condition. Nevertheless, I'm not going into all those details because we don't have that zawk left anymore. But as I did indicate in that Thursday night majlis, that inshallah I will explain to you some part of the poetry. So tonight, being short notice also for many brothers, therefore let us have this poetry of Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He says, نہ وہ ذوق ہے نہ وہ شوق ہے نہ وہ کیف ہے نہ سرور ہے نہ وہ ذوق ہے نہ وہ شوق ہے نہ وہ کیف ہے نہ سرور ہے ہے ہر ایک چیز ہی بے مزہ جو نظر سے تو اپنی دور ہے ہر ایک چیز ہی بے مزا جو نظر سے تو اپنی دور ہے. اسے نہ وہ ذوق ہے نہ وہ شوق ہے نہ وہ کیف ہے نہ سرور ہے, اے ہر ایک چیز ہی بے مزا جو نظر سے تو اپنی دور ہے. او اللہ, اف یو آر فار اوے فرام اوور سائٹ اینڈ اوور گیز, اف یو آر ہڈن فرام اوور سائٹ اینڈ اوور گیز, دین دیر ول بی نو کیف, نو سرور, نو ہیپینس, نو جوائے, نو کنٹینٹمنٹ, نو سیٹسفیکشن ان اینی تھنگ. A person will have everything, but there will be no satisfaction, there will be no peace, there will be no enjoyment. Life will be restless, full of anxieties and worries. If it is not the person himself, then it is some son's problem, daughter's problem, wife's problem, family problem, business problem. Some kind of problem will make that person's life restless, full of worries, anxieties and restlessness. And not only that, that the material things will become tasteless and it will lose its enjoyment, but even the spiritual aspects of his life will become mechanical, robot-like, empty, void of any kind of spirituality. It will be as if the person is just fulfilling some kind of a timetable. 5 times namaz, we have to come to the masjid, so we will go to the masjid and make namaz with the speed of lightning and we will be out. And we will be quite happy that we made our salat. But in fact, that same salat will be wrapped up like a dirty cloth and thrown back to the person with the curses of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if that namaz is made like that. However, again, we should not despair. I like to balance everything and don't cause any person to despair of Allah ta'ala's mercy and say, well, if our namazes are like that, now then what is the sense of going to the masjid and making that kind of namaz? If our zikr is like that, which is lifeless, then what is the sense of making zikr? If our ibadat is lifeless, then what's the sense of making ibadat? So the shaitan will again use the same thing to make that person give up everything and indulge in all kinds of sins. So we should not despair of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. We should make shukr that at least He gave us the tawfiq that we came to the masjid and we made namaz. But a person always wants the best. So you should not be satisfied, that is the point, that we should not be satisfied and contented with what salat we have made and then expect results on those salats. This is our problem, that many of us who make our salat 5 times a day, make some Quran Sharif tilawat, a little bit of zikr, then we are waiting for results upon those ibadat of ours, which we only know that with what kind of heart and mind did we perform that salat and make that ibadat. So we cannot expect results on that. A person says that I have got money. Now if he's got 1 rand, then he can be called a person with money. And the person who has got 1 million, he also says I've got money. So he is also a person who can be called a person with money. But there is a world of difference between the two. So in the same way, the person who made his namaz, zikr, tilawat, but without his heart, mind and soul in it, he can also say, I made some ibadat. And the other person who concentrated on his ibadat, he tried to build up that contact with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He was conscious of Allah ta'ala's presence when he was making that salat. So he will also say that I have made namaz. But there will be a world of difference between the two. So neither should we give it up, and nor should we be satisfied. What we have to do is bring that ikhlas and that dedication and that reflection into that salat and into that ibadat. Because if you've got the salat, then at least we've got the tumbler there. Now in that tumbler we can bring anything we wish to. We can put milk inside there, we can put water in there, we can put juice in there. And a person who is a drinker, then he can even put alcohol and sharab in there. So it just depends what we fill in there, but at least the person has got the container. If we don't have a container, in what are we going to bring that ikhlas? So now that we have got some form of ibadat, now to bring that ikhlas in there so that we get that connection with Allah Ta'ala and that enjoyment in our salat, in our ibadat. That is the essential and important thing. So he says, na wo zauq hai, na wo shauq hai, na wo kaif hai, na surur hai. In everything, in nothing is there left any kind of enjoyment. Hey, har ek cheez hai be maza. One is the cheese that you buy from the supermarket. This is, we are talking about the Urdu cheese. That means everything. But in fact, even that cheese will become tasteless. That cheese that you buy from the supermarket will also become tasteless if that person is full of anxieties and worries. So he says, har ek cheez hai be maza. Nothing, there's no enjoyment. The person goes to sleep full of anxiety, restlessness, worries. He gets up, the same problem. Jo nazar se apni tu dur hai. If, oh Allah, you are far away from my gaze and from my sight. In other words, from my heart, if you are far away. On the other hand, if a person is going through difficulties, trials, tests in his life, sickness, poverty, all kinds of problems, children problem, wife problem, family problem, but if he has got Allah Ta'ala with him in his heart, then in the midst of all these problems, still Allah Ta'ala will give him sukoon in his heart, because it is a test from Allah Ta'ala. So there will be a world of difference again between the two. This person who has got Allah Ta'ala with him, his gaze is on Allah Ta'ala, and he's trying his level best, he's doing whatever he has to do. Then if something is coming his way, which is not very good and pleasant, then he will say, it is from my Allah, it is his decision. I cannot fight against Allah Ta'ala's decision. I must be happy with whatever he is happy with. So he will make use of the means, but he will not begin to complain of Allah Ta'ala. So he will still have sukoon in his heart. So na wo zauq hai, na wo shauq hai, na wo kaif hai, na surur hai, hai har ek cheez hi be maza, jo nazar se apni tu dur hai. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not in the life of a person, then definitely that person's life is going to be restless. We are not talking about the disbelievers who are given Jannat in this world for certain good deeds that they do. But a believer, if he is disobeying Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala may sometimes give him plentiful of this world, but in that he will make his life restless. In one poetry, Hazrat Maulana Akimud Akhtar Sahib, in a couplet of his, he says, Tere bin sukoon hai na aaram hai. That first line I can't seem to get, in which he says that without Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, without Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in a person's life, there is no sukoon and no aram. Tere bin sukoon hai na aram hai. Tadapne se humko fakat kaam hai. Muhabbat ka yahi fakat inaam hai. He says that we, in our lives, that is what we will have to keep on going through. Restlessness in the search of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But that is what is going to bring sukoon into this person's life. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf-e-qusoor hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf-e-qusoor hai. Hai malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor hai. He says, but we are human beings. We are human beings and we will make mistakes, we will commit some sin, we will err, we will fault. But he says, kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai. That sometimes in our life there will be ta'at, there will be ibadat, there will be zikr, there will be tilawat, there will be namaz. There will be all those things that are pleasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says, sometimes it is the happiness of this ta'at. Sometimes in my life there is this happiness that, Ya Allah, I was able to make namaz, I was able to make tilawat, I was able to make zikr, I was able to stay away from haram. So is there's a happiness. And kabhi aitraaf-e qusoor hai. And sometimes there will be this acknowledgement of my mistakes and of my errors. The person will not brag about his sins. He will not advertise his sins. He will not go and announce his sins. And he will not express any kind of happiness over his sins. There will be an aitraaf of his qusoor. If a person is seeking forgiveness, then At that time, if that person is laughing away, then will that person ever get forgiveness? At that time, the person will be expressing remorse, regret, shame, nadamat. Tears will flow from his eyes. I am very sorry, please forgive me, do not punish me, do not seize me, do not throw me into prison, do not chain me, do not whip me. All those things the person will say. And his face also will show that expression that he is very, very sad and unhappy about what he has done. And he will be asking for clemency, for leniency, for forgiveness, for release. At that time, the person will not be going around announcing that what a wonderful deed he did. He knows for which the punishment is whipping and imprisonment, etc. So in the same way here, this person who has committed a sin, then he makes a'tiraf of his qusur before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, "Oh Allah, I am ashamed of what I have done. I am the ummati of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He who sacrificed everything for my sake. He who went through so much of torture and trials and tribulations and hardships, all for the sake of the ummah. He who cried whole night in his prayers. He whose sole concern was the ummati. Oh Allah, I am the ummati of that Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am ashamed that I have become the source of embarrassment for that Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That my sins are being exposed. My sins are being advertised in the newspapers. My sins are being announced to the world that this Muslim ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was seen on the dance floor, and this one was seen in the casino, and this was seen in this club, and that one was seen in that club. So I am feeling ashamed, O Allah." So this person will express shame, regret and remorse if he is a true ummati of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when his good deeds will give him happiness, and when his evil deeds will bring sorrow and regret in his heart, then that is iman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked that what is iman? How do I know that I've got iman? So he said, when your good deeds make you happy, and when your bad deeds make you sad and sorrowful, then that is the sign that you have got iman in you. So the opposite of that will be that when the person's good deeds do not make him happy, when there are good deeds being done, it doesn't make him happy. And when the evil deeds make him happy, then he has to check whether there is iman there. One is accidental commission of that evil, and the other is bragging about that evil. If only we can understand these two things, then our lives will change. That there is no question of a Muslim bragging about his sins. I did that person down like this and like that. This is how I managed to cover up the defects in the vehicle before I sold it. And this is how I fraudulently took him for a ride. Or in marriages and in other matters. So the person who is happy about the sins that he has committed, then there is a danger of his iman vanishing altogether. But accidental sins, any person can make a mistake, any person can commit. But at that time he is deeply ashamed, he is regretting, he is expressing remorse, and he is tearing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he is asking Allah ta'ala for hidayat and guidance and forgiveness. Then Allah Ta'ala becomes so pleased with that person that he does not only forgive him. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin." Allah Ta'ala loves that person who has made tawbah. The persons who make tawbah, Allah Ta'ala loves them. He dearly loves those who make tawbah. That means Allah Ta'ala's love is coming for this person now who has expressed great regret and remorse and is making sincere tawbah from his sins. And as far as the conditions of tawbah are concerned, many, many times you have heard it, that if it's namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, then the person starts qaza. And if it is with the debts that he is owing or people's rights and dues, then he starts paying back or asks for forgiveness. And as far as the past is concerned, he seeks forgiveness, and for the future, the person makes sincere intention of not to return to those sins. then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also forgives this person. And not only forgives, but now he makes him his mahbub. So therefore he says that, hey malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor hai. He says, at that time when I am feeling greatly ashamed of the sins that I have committed in my life, at that time when the azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes before my eyes, and at that time when the risalat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and my being his ummati comes before my eyes, and at that time when I am seeing Jannat and Jahannam before me and expressing great regret and remorse over my sins and making sincere tawbah, at that moment my station is that which even the angels don't know. Because at that moment the person is so close to Allah Ta'ala. His forehead is here on the ground. He's making sajda on the farsh, but his ruh is in the arsh. Whilst he is in the farsh here, his ruh is in the arsh there. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is blessing him with his mehbubiyat. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. He says, for my crying over every little mistake of mine, that's the only way that I can express my regret and remorse and get forgiveness of my sins. Teri rahmato ka sadqa mera jurm afwa karna. And oh Allah, I'm not saying that because of my namaz, because of my ibadat, because of my zikr and tilawat, because of my charities, because of my hajj and umrah, forgive all the sins of mine. Because I know that what kind of a quality all these ibadat of mine have. I am saying, Teri rahmato ka sadqa. Oh Allah, you are so merciful, so merciful. So with the sadqa of your rahmat, forgiveness of my sins, I seek from you. So he says, at that moment when I am making this tawbah and istighfar, even the angels are not aware of that maqam of mine, that station of mine, that status of mine. Tera zikr hai, teri yaad hai, tera naam, tera payam hai. Tera zikr hai, teri yaad hai, tera naam, tera payam hai. Hai agar naseeb teri raza, to ye hijr jaane huzoor hai. Tera zikr hai, teri yaad hai, tera naam, tera payam hai. O Allah, on my lips is your zikr, your remembrance. Teri yaad, your remembrance, O my Allah, is in my heart. Tera naam, tera payam hai, your name and your message. Hai agar naseeb teri raza, to ye hijr jaane huzoor hai. If only I can get your pleasure, then this separation is in fact actual presence. The greatest need of our ibadat is ikhlas. The pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is only got on ikhlas. If we are going to bring sincerity and ikhlas into our ibadat, then Allah ta'ala will be pleased. So if we can get the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in all our actions, we do it solely for Allah ta'ala's pleasure. Some time back I mentioned that many women or sisters, they write that we've got 5 children, 6 children, we've got this work, that work, from the morning we get up, just one child sometime is a handful, does not allow the mother to do any other work, and especially if they are sick, and if they got diarrhea and other kinds of problems, then that poor mother, when is she going to find time to read Quran Sharif and make zikr and make a lot of other nafil ibadat? So I said, how simple it is for you to get wilayat. How simple it is for you to get wilayat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is so merciful and so kind. All you have to do is change your niyat. At present you are just doing it because it is like a duty upon you that you have to do the work. You have to care for the children. You have to wash them, bathe them, change them. So you are doing it just out of necessity. But if only you change your niyat, that I am doing this for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. As a mother, it is my responsibility. Allah Ta'ala has given me the hukam to take care. So I am doing these things for my husband and for my children for the pleasure of my Allah. Then she can with just that reach those stages which we cannot reach with plenty of zikr. So simple and easy. So all that is required is to change our niyat and intention. At present, most of us, we hardly have an intention in our minds as to why we are doing certain things. Our business, there's no intention. We just go there, we have to open the shop and earn plentiful and then make a big bank balance, that's about all. But if only we say that our intention is this, that Ya Allah, I want to save myself from extending my hands before others and begging. I want to save myself from begging. Oh Allah, provide me with plentiful of sustenance and risk in this business so that I may be able to provide for myself and for my family, for my children, for my parents, sufficient amount of food, clothing, groceries, whatever is required, whatever the needs are, so that I may be able to take care of them. Provide for me sufficiently and plentiful in this business which I am going to open so that I may be able to give zakat, sadaqat, khairat, lillah, so that I may be able to assist the poor, the needy, the orphans, the widows. Now the more niyats he makes, the more and more the sawab he is getting. And yet he is opening the same business, he is not going to go and do something else. But just that niyat of the mu'min, at present we have got no niyat. If we start making niyat over all these daily activities of life, as we term them, even all those activities will become ibadat. So simple to convert it to ibadat. Our niyat must become correct. So he says, Hey Malak, ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor hai.
Teri yaad dil ki mere dawa, tera naam rooh ki hai shifa. Teri yaad dil ki mere dawa, tera naam rooh ki hai shifa. Tera bhoolna meri maut hai, tera zikr haasile tur hai. Teri yaad dil ki mere dawa.
He says, Oh Allah, your remembrance is the medication for my heart. Just as for the physical heart, there's medication. Those people who are suffering from heart problems, then the medication for that heart. Different kinds of medication is given for different things to strengthen the heart. So he says, but for my spiritual heart, it is just your remembrance that is the medication for my heart. All those who are complaining that our hearts are like empty, then what else is the medication but to remember Allah Ta'ala in abundance? The remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in abundance is the medication for that heart. Tera naam ruh ki hai shifa. And just to take your name, O Allah, it is the cure for the soul. My soul, what else is the cure except the taking of your name? The ruh also gets sick. Just as our body gets sick, in the same way the ruh also gets sick. And the sickness of the ruh is a very dangerous thing. Because if the person does not treat the sickness of the ruh, then from that body, all the actions that will emanate, they will cause damage and harm not only to himself, but also to many, many other people. From the sick soul. This sick soul, then that person will rape, he will steal, commit fraud. The person's soul is sick, then that person will not differentiate between his mother and sister. That person will become an animal in human form. We are seeing around us and we are witnessing and we are reading and we are listening to what kinds of actions and that people are committing, those whose souls are sick. That we do not know whether to term those people or to categorize them as human beings or as animals. In fact, the animal also only devours when it is hungry. Here there is absolutely no concern at all. We all are complaining of morality and we all are complaining of drugs and drink and all these type of problems in our society. So where does it emanate from? Where does it come out from? When the soul is sick, And yet that same soul, if it is cured, if it is treated, if the islah of that nafs is made, then that same person becomes an angel. That same person then becomes an angel.
Teri yaad dil ki mere dawa, tera naam rooha ki hai shifa, tera bhool na meri maut hai, tera zikr haasil tur hai.
O Allah, forgetting you is my death. Forgetting you, that's my death. The moment the person forgets that there is Allah watching me, then that is his death. Shaitan and nafs immediately after that grabs this person. If the person forgets about Allah Ta'ala watching him, just that little lapse, and that person can commit such a major sin that afterwards, if he has to also think, it doesn't make sense to him. He says, what happened to me? How did I commit this kind of sin? How did I ever get caught in this kind of crime? Because of that little lapse, a person is driving a car very carefully, but a little lapse and he can make a major accident. So we have to be on guard all the time. That is our test in this life, that we have to be on guard all the time. Nafs and shaitan must not devour us. Sometimes a person says that I am now reformed and changed, and now I'm going to go and change everybody else. But in the meantime, if he is not properly reformed, and if he goes to the wrong place to go and change people, he may get caught up in those same sins there, if he's going individually. Therefore, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali always said, go with the Jamaat. So that if there are 5 people or 6 people or 10 people, then the other person will be a little careful. There was hikmat in that. But individually this person is going now. He's going to go and make islah and give reformation. Nasihats. A young person is going to give nasihat to a young woman. Or he's going to the bar now. He says, I'm going to the bar and lots of people are drinking there. Or I'm going to the casino to go and give nasihat to those people that are gambling there. Now he hasn't made islah of himself and he goes as an individual there. And he makes that incident in the life of Hazrat Shah Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali or some other buzrugs who went to certain places of this nature, and with their ruhaniyat, with their power which we term as the power of ruhaniyat, they were able to draw those people out. Even prostitutes, they got them out and made them make tawbah, and they became pious ladies after that. Now this person reads some incident like that and he starts going and making nasihat there. So then the danger is that he could become, like one poet said, Raat phir waiz bala nosho ko samjane gaye. Raat phir waiz bala nosho ko samjane gaye. Main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye. Main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye. He says, last night one wise, he said that I'm going to go and make nasihat to those people who are taking the dop, drinking. He says, I'm going to go and make nasihat to them. Now when he went to make nasihat to them, he says, main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye. When he came out of that bar, you could hardly recognize him also. He was so intoxicated, you couldn't even recognize him. So he said, Raat phir waiz bala nosho ko samjane gaye. Main kade se nikle to mushkil se pehchane gaye. So therefore, those people who say that we want to go to these type of places and make nasihat, then I tell them it's a very good idea. But first you must check, x-ray your own heart, that how strong you are. When you are going to be there, will you be able to resist the temptation? So it is a very slippery ground. We have to make the nasihat too, and we have to be on guard also. Nafs and shaitan are our enemies, declared enemies. They will always look for opportunities to make us fall and drag us down the drain. And when the respect of the person is lost, when his dignity, honor, respect, everything is gone, then at that time shaitan will move away.
And he said, I didn't tell you to sin. Whatever you did yourself. Qiyamah Day is going to say the same thing.
Hansi aati hai mujhe hazrat insaan par, guna karta hai khud, lanat bhejta hai shaitan par.
Shaitan says, I laugh upon those people. They commit the sins and they blame me for it.
Shaitan only whispered in the ear. After that, who undertook all the actions and deeds?
That is the reason why sohbat of the salihin is so important, so important.
The company of the righteous is extremely important for this reason. That in their company, inshallah, the person will not become mardood. He will not turn away again from deen. And if accidentally he committed some sin, then again he'll make plenty of tawbah and come back on track. He's not going to go very far away. That is what the effect is of the sohbat of the salihin.
Main bura hazar sahi magar hai karam pe tere meri nazar. Main bura hazar sahi magar hai karam pe tere meri nazar. Tu kareem hai, tu raheem hai, mujhe naaz us pe zaroor hai.
He says, main bura hazar sahi magar. This is that aitraf of qusoor, that the person says, oh Allah, I may be very, very sinful. Main hazar bura sahi magar. Hey karam pe tere meri nazar. But my gaze is, oh Allah, on your forgiveness, on your mercy, on your karam, on your raham. My gaze is on that. You are kareem, you are raheem. And kareem is the one who gives even without that person deserving. The person did not deserve to pass, you pass that person. The person did not deserve help, you help that person. The person did not deserve your mercy and kindness because he has been so disobedient, but you say, never mind, forgive him. They say, oh Allah, you are kareem, you are one who gives even without the person deserving. Because what did we really deserve? Did we deserve our sight, our hearing, our speech? Did we deserve our health, our wealth, our properties? If we have to look around us, everything that we have got, do we really deserve it? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of His mercy and kindness, He has blessed us with all these ni'mats. So He says, tu kareem hai, tu raheem hai, mujhe naaz us pe zaroor hai. I take great pride in mentioning that, oh Allah, you are Rahim, you are Kareem. And that is why I am begging of you. Oh Allah, that is why I am begging of you.
So he says, Main bura hazar sahi magar. In other words, here again now, he is giving us hope that we should not lose hope in Allah Ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. Especially those who have committed a lot of sins, when they change their lives and when they come onto track, then those past sins keep on bugging them, that I did this, I did that, I did that. So these akabir and buzrugs of ours, they tell us that make sincere tawbah, and after that don't keep on playing that old reel. That day I did this and that day I did that, because even there can be nafs and shaitan that will trap you. A person, for example, was in the habit of committing adultery, or he was watching some porn movies and films, or he had an illicit love relationship. Whatever it was, now the person realized that all these sins that I was indulging in, I was distancing myself from Allah Ta'ala, so therefore he makes plenty of tawbah, istighfar, and he comes on track. Now the moment he is alone, again shaitan will whisper into his heart and into his mind, that where you also got trapped and caught with these Sufi subs. What wonderful time you were having, and what enjoyment and what pleasure there was. And now it will start playing that old film again, and take him back to those old pictures, and take him back to those old encounters of his. And now suddenly that person will start getting some kind of attraction again towards that same life which he came out from. So make sincere tawbah and believe that Allah Ta'ala is forgiving, merciful, and He has forgiven those sins, and now look ahead. Only that much khawf of Allah Ta'ala is required, which keeps a person away from sins. It is not required that a person should be sitting and crying all the time, or the person should have only fear all the time. Too much of fear also makes a person sometimes lose out. It makes him lose his interest in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat. Because he begins to feel that, what is the sense? I will never be able to do justice to my namaz. I will never be able to do justice to my tilawat. So therefore I rather just forget it and carry on with my old lifestyle. So it will take him away. But if the person has got hopes that, Ya Allah, I have come 25%, now increase my ikhlas and my dedication and my ibadat, tilawat, zikr, what, and my closeness to you. So this person after some time will come 50%, then 75%, then he will get connected with Allah Ta'ala. Again, that same beautiful example it is, if only we can understand that, and I've been mentioned it, I think, more than a dozen times now already, that when you are digging for a well, because sometimes new brothers just come out of their old lifestyles, and then they become very worried. They say, nothing is happening, nothing is happening. So I tell them, just look back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, just 2 years ago, 1 year ago, were you exactly the same what you are now? They say, no, there's a big change. Now I've given up that, and I've given up, I've thrown the TV away, and I've torn all those pictures and photographs which I had in my possession, all the filth, and I've done this and I've done that. So I said, hasn't something happened already? He says, yes, but I still feel empty. Well, that emptiness is not going to go overnight. So if the person is digging a well, then what comes out first? It's going to be sand, dust, stones, rocks. As he is digging, that is what is going to come out. When they were digging here, most of us saw how this sand and dust keeps on blowing from the ground. Now if the person says, well, nothing is happening, it's only sand, dust coming out, so give it up. So he will never get to water. But if this person says, no, well, carry on, carry on. So after some time, then he'll reach a depth where there will be sand and water mixed. But he cannot drink that, he cannot eat that, he cannot do anything with that. If he's going to take that also, he's going to die. But he must carry on, don't give up hope, but at least now it will bring hope in him. The moment he's going to see that, he'll say, well, I'm somewhere near water. So if he gives it up there, it's going to be useless. But if he just goes a little further, then he will strike water. And then just look at that water that we struck. How many thousands of people have already made wuzu with that water? Thousands of liters have been used for washing and for the washing of the towels and everything else, and people are drinking. Now that same water will become sufficient not only for himself, but we do not know how many thousands will then benefit from that ruhaniyat of his. So there's nothing to despair. Just a little effort is required, and just see where Allah Ta'ala takes that person. But there is no other way except to take that little pressure on the heart of restraining from haram. What can we say? Durban is becoming the fun capital and the sin capital now. And remember, throughout history, go through all the cities of the world which became known as fun capitals and sin capitals, where the fun and the entertainment never ends of the haram kind. There is always the danger of earthquakes, floods, gale force winds, and other kind of azab on those cities. Whether it was London, Paris, Bombay, our Durban itself, Cape Town, Johannesburg, wherever you take those cities, the main cities, which finally end up as becoming the fun cities and the sun cities and the sin cities, then at that time there is always this danger that there could be earthquakes, floods, gale force winds. It's just the charities of the believers, the charities that they give, and even of the disbelievers, that cools the anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Otherwise we do not know by when everything would have been destroyed and gone. So we should not become part of that sin entertainment. We should try and keep ourselves away from those areas. If not, then we are going to get caught up, and then it will become very difficult. Our own lives will become miserable. Stay away from sins, that's all. Guna mat karo, he says. Even if you don't make tahajjud, you don't make ishraq, don't make chash, don't make awwabin, don't make too much of zikr, just stay away from sins. And in these days, that itself, just perform your farz, wajib, sunnat, a little bit of Quran tilawat, a little bit of zikr, and inshallah fulfill the rights of people, and that person is a wali of Allah Ta'ala. Then see what asar is in his duas, and then see what sukoon that person has in his heart, what gardens Allah Ta'ala gives him inside. Jannat in this world, Allah Ta'ala gives it to him in his heart. and in the akhirat will be another jannat. But in this world, immediately Allah Ta'ala gives that person jannat. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin mubarak wa sallim. Ay Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma, khataon ko maaf farma. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with happiness, with prosperity, with contentment, with satisfaction. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to bring ikhlas into our ibadat, into our zikr, into our tilawat, into our charities, in all the amal that we are doing. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of brothers and sisters, parents and children, wives and husbands, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us with your marifat, with your yaqeen, with your muhabbat, with tawakkul in you. Oh Allah, connect us with you so firmly and so strongly that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you for a single moment. Ya Allah, throughout the world with the Muslim ummah is suffering, remove their suffering. Ya Allah, Kashmir mein, Bosnia mein, Chechnya mein, Palestine mein, jahan kahin bhi musalmanon par aafate aur balaye aa rahi hai. Ya Allah, tere fazl o karam se usko to dur farma. Mujahideen Islam ki madad aur nusrat farma. Deen ke jitne kaam ho rahe sabko to qubool farma. Ya Allah, hum sabko sehat, afiyat, izzat, salamati, rahat, maghfirat, jannat naseeb farma. Jo inteqal kar gaye unki puri puri maghfirat farma. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa maulana muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arham.